Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, cancer is still one of the leading killers. But different cancer treatments outside of radiation and chemotherapy are available. One of those is proton treatment. What is it? How effective is it? And how available is it? Tonight, we discuss and address those questions and more. It is a Medical Monday. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'd like you to be part of this conversation, your questions, your comments on this important topic. Joining us tonight is Dr. Matthew Wittig. He is the medical director of the Maryland Proton Treatment Center and an associate professor of radiation oncology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Wittig, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Wittig, if you can, first tell us, what is proton therapy?
Sure. So like you mentioned in the opening, doctors these days have many, many different tools to fight cancer. We have chemotherapy, immunotherapy, surgery, and radiation. Radiation comes in different types. We use things called electrons for some cases, X-rays or photons for others. And that is the one we traditionally think about, photon radiation. Proton therapy is just a slightly advanced form of radiation therapy. We use the properties of the proton, which allows us to curative doses of radiation to tumor cells, more of the normal tissue surrounding the tumor. This allows us to improve the quality of life of our patients after the treatment.
And so is proton therapy better than one or the other of these treatments that you've mentioned and that I've mentioned already? Where does it stand out? What makes it different? Well, you said what makes it different, but is one better over than the other, proton therapy, that is?
That's a great question. I think we have to put everything into context. For example, if you have disease that is spread throughout the body, systemic therapy like chemotherapy or immunotherapy would make more sense than proton therapy. If you have a very, very, very tiny tumor somewhere in the brain, maybe X-ray or photon radiation would be a better choice for that. And we have to use protons when appropriate. Proton therapy can be better, for example, for pediatric patients that have cancers because we can deliver the same dose of radiation as traditional, but reduce the dose of a lot of the normal tissue. This, over the lifespan of the patient, will reduce the risk of, for example, secondary cancers from radiation, lung fibrosis, chance of developing breast cancer, or low thyroid levels. So it's in context. It can be a better treatment for some patients, correct?
And so if you are a cancer patient, what questions should you be asking your doctor, Dr. Wittig, if you're looking at different types, you know, of treatment, and proton therapy is something sort of you heard about but don't know a lot about? When you come in, what should you be asking the doctor about it? And I know, again, it depends on, you know, your condition and what you're suffering from, the particular type of cancer, I'm assuming.
Sure. So at the Maryland Proton Treatment Center, and I can just say MPTC throughout the next hour,
sure,
to keep it shorter, we're both specialized in photon radiation and proton radiation. So that allows us to use an unbiased filter to determine whether or not photons are better for you or protons. So my biased opinion is to see a proton physician that has experience in both protons and photons, and then allow them to present the pros and cons of both types of treatments.
202. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Go right ahead.
Oh, no. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Tonight it is a Medical Monday, and we are talking specifically about proton therapy, treating cancer. It's a form of treatment for cancer. If you have questions or comments, if you're suffering from cancer and you have some questions about whether or not proton therapy would work well for you, or someone you know, or a close family member, or you've received proton therapy, and you can sort of tell us about how it has worked for you or not worked for you, if you see it that way. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Whittock, can you have proton therapy along with other therapy, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation, or again, is it just one or the other? Can it be in combination?
Of course it can. I would say the majority of our patients receive multimodality therapy, whether that be systemic chemotherapy or immunotherapy. So we do it in combination. There are even times where we've used protons and photon therapy. Again, using our best clinical judgment and doing what we find best for the patient, that's the treatment that we would pursue.
And is it effective on certain cancers other than others?
So the dose of radiation that we give the patients, whether it be with traditional radiation or proton radiation, is the same. There's some nuances in biological effectiveness of the radiation, but for all purposes, it's basically the same amount of radiation. What we're really trying to do with proton therapy is to reduce the dose to the normal tissue surrounding the tumors to create a less toxic treatment during the radiation and then fewer long-term complications from the radiation. Now, having said that, if you can imagine us giving lower doses to radiation to our normal tissues, that may allow us to what we call dose escalate radiation to tumors, which may improve the cure rate of proton therapy. We're still working on clinical trials to determine if this is a fact, but that's something that the properties of the protons may allow us to do, is to increase the dose, possibly increasing the cure rate, but maintaining a good side effect profile.
Now, proton therapy is not available universally in the country, correct? Are there just a few medical centers that actually offer it? Would that be correct?
I would say around 30 or so.
Right. So what? Why?
You can imagine for the X-ray machines, there's thousands. So that just gives you a relative.
Exactly. So why is that? Is it the cost of the equipment? Is it the cost to the insurance companies? Is it the cost to patients? Why not more?
So complex question. I can address a few of them. Mm-hmm. The machines are larger, so they have a bigger footprint. And so the older centers, for example, at Maryland Proton Treatment Center, we have 5 different rooms that we treat in. We have a 3-story building because the machine is 3 stories. And so it was a lot of what we want to say capital expenses for the machine, making it expensive and maybe prohibitive for a private practitioner group. Newer technology is a smaller footprint, maybe one room. Maybe a fifth of the cost, which makes it a little bit more feasible for smaller centers to open a proton center. And that's maybe why we're seeing more and more single center rooms opening up. Given the cost, to address the second point, the cost and the insurance, I think that goes into one. If you have a more expensive therapy, it tends to be more expensive. For example, if you use the newest statin drug versus the generic one, it's going to be more expensive than the other. So there is a little bit of a higher cost. And that's why some insurances won't or are reluctant to approve proton therapy. If you look nationwide, the percentage of patients that can possibly get approved, maybe in the 40 to 50% range. At the Maryland Proton Treatment Center, we're pretty proud in saying that our number is closer to 92%. So I would say probably the highest in the country. There's some things that allow us to do that given the state of Maryland's insurance coverage. Which we're very happy that we can offer our services to patients at almost the same cost, even sometimes cheaper, sometimes more, but we say a cost-neutral situation as our X-ray machine. So, again, it allows us to really use our clinical judgment in saying we need protons or photons and not have to worry about insurance, not have to worry about burdening the healthcare system or our patients with financial toxicity. So those are a few of the reasons why. There's not more of them, but maybe you'll see more creeping up in the future.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. It's a Medical Monday. Tonight we are talking about proton therapy. It is a cancer treatment. Our guest tonight is Dr. Matthew Whittock. He is the medical director of the Maryland Proton Treatment Center and associate professor of radiation oncology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Phone lines are open, 202 202- 319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to those phone lines. We're going to go to Ralph calling from the district with a question regarding Proton. Go right ahead, Ralph.
How you doing, Doc? Just so you know, I'm HER2 positive, and I've started treatment already. I have a spot on my stomach and my liver. So after the treatment's over, if the spots on my liver are smaller, would proton therapy typically be a good idea for someone like me?
So your primary tumor is lung, did you
stomach.
Say? I missed that. Stomach.
Stomach and secondary.
Okay, and it has spread to your liver?
Right.
We do treat a lot of liver metastases with protons. I think it's one of the more studied disease sites that we do treat. We can deliver a high dose of radiation there and spare a lot of your normal liver, spare a lot of your normal bowel tissue that may be there. So it could be a good option for you. We have world-class GI radiation oncologists at the Maryland Proton Treatment Center that treat a lot of liver metastases, so they have expertise. And again, I feel that I'll be saying a lot of this, but the best way for us to give you our best opinion is to see one of our specialists who have expertise in the disease sites and the technology to make an official recommendation. But to basically answer your question, yes, we do treat a lot of liver lesions.
Can I ask you one more question?
Go right ahead, sure. Ralph. Go ahead.
Okay. Side effects. So after you get proton therapy, what do you expect to feel like? Do you expect to feel like you do after chemotherapy or something different?
So chemotherapy can cause a variety of side effects because depending on the chemotherapy, you may get different side effects. For example, there's a drug called cisplatin that can cause you to have nausea, some ringing in your ears, versus another drug may cause you to have sores in your mouth. So chemotherapy varies from drug to drug to drug. The most common side effect I would imagine you would experience with liver radiation would be a mild fatigue. I don't expect much more, to be quite honest with you, but usually it's a fatigue. Some patients can get a little bit nauseated with radiation, and you may be asked to pre-medicate with a steroid or an anti-nausea medication. But in general, it's tolerated fairly well.
So Dr. Wittig, so is proton therapy is part of that radiation? Radiation is involved, is that correct?
It is, yes. We use radiation as also generic but basic term to that incorporates electron radiation therapy, photon radiation therapy, proton radiation therapy. We have neutron, we have carbon ion radiation therapy. So they're all under the umbrella of radiation. It's just the type of radiation.
So other than fatigue, skin problems, redness, irritation, swelling, dryness, blistering, peeling, that also can be side effects from the proton therapy, correct?
Good question. It depends on where we're treating. For example, if you are a female that had a surgery and you had a mastectomy, you had your breasts removed and the tumor came back on your chest wall, the tumor is at the skin surface. And so the high dose of radiation would go closer to the skin surface on purpose. And so you would have a skin reaction there. But a liver tumor, we would push higher powered protons through your skin, which would spare a lot of the skin from the high doses of radiation, and we would deposit that energy deeper in the body. So deeper tumors tend to have less skin reaction. More shallow tumors closer to the skin surface, you would have a more brisk skin reaction. So, again, it depends.
We're going to take a quick break, Dr. Wittig, but before we do, if folks want to get more information about proton therapy or want to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
One of the best ways, I think, in the digital era is askforprotons.com, A-S-K-F-O-R, protons.com. We have a great website. It discusses our technology, our story, our physicians. There's an area for consultation. You can also call 410-369-5200. That should get you to our front desk. Those are the two best options.
All right. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. That means you, Calvin. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we are talking about a specific cancer treatment, proton therapy. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Again, our guest is Dr. Matthew Wittig. He is the medical director of the Maryland Proton Treatment Center and associate professor of radiation oncology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Let's go back to the phone lines. Calvin is calling from the district with a question or comment. Go right ahead, Calvin.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. I'm a senior, and I've just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Would proton therapy treat that?
Yes, it does. That was probably the first indication for proton therapy was prostate cancer. So there is years and years and years of experience treating prostate cancer with protons.
Okay. My age, does it play a factor in side effects and things like that?
No, it won't. It shouldn't. Generally, proton or prostate radiation in general is very well tolerated. With proton therapy, we expect a very well-tolerated treatment as well. We've been treating it. We've been open since 2016. We are the first in this area, the only one in Maryland, and we've treated over 3,500 patients. Of those 3,500, probably 20% or so have been prostate patients, so we have a huge experience at the Maryland Proton Center. So we have several docs that treat that specifically, and, you know, if you wanted to have a consultation, again, ask for protons.com or 410-369-5200. Happy to see you.
Can you repeat that number, please?
Yeah, 410-369-5200.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Calvin. Best of luck with your treatment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Wittig, how about elderly patients who may be fragile and may be, you know, they have to avoid surgery, but we also know any type of cancer treatment, whether it's radiation, whether it's chemotherapy, can be sometimes very hard on their bodies. Proton therapy, how would you assess in terms of age? It works with elderly folk.
Great question. It's a slightly difficult question because we have to take into consideration the patient's performance status. And, sometimes elderly patients, 80, 85, are doing very well and they're very healthy except for their cancer diagnosis. And so all of those things come into play when we're making general treatment plans for our elderly patients. As I said before, one of the major benefits of proton radiation is reduced dose of radiation to the body in general. So in my experience, I've treated I've treated a number of patients in their 80s, and they've tolerated the treatment very well. So it's pretty amazing how resilient our older patients are, and we respect that, and we do everything we can to help them logistically. Sometimes that's the more difficult component of their treatment, not actually the treatment, but getting to and from the center. We try to make it as convenient as possible. We do have, for example, valet parking right in front of our center. So you drive into on 95 into Baltimore, we're one block off of Martin Luther King Boulevard. You pull up, we have a valet that parks your car and brings it back for you. We have a very dedicated concierge team that will work with elderly patients and all patients to help them with lodging and any type of transportation assistance that we can provide them. So the treatment itself is generally well tolerated by elderly patients, and we do everything we can to make it logistically feasible for them.
So now I'm going to go to the sort of the other extreme, children. Can they handle proton therapy, and is the approach different with younger folks?
No, they can tolerate proton therapy very well. I would say for most pediatric patients, the goal is to get them for proton therapy. There's just a much reduced dose of radiation to the patient. We always think about long-term side effects in pediatrics. The less radiation we can give them, the better. So with protons, we're able to deliver that high dose of radiation to where it needs to go, but then reduce the low and medium dose that sort of spreads throughout the body in our pediatric patients. And we expect the long-term side effects, for example, a secondary cancer risk to go down and other long-term side effects to go down. So we do try to treat all of our pediatric patients with protons at University of Maryland.
Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. It's a Medical Monday. We're talking about the cancer treatment, proton therapy. If you have questions, if you have comments for the doctor, now's the time to give us a call, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Roland is calling from Maryland. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I have a friend who was treated for prostate cancer, and he was happy with the treatment, with a proton treatment. And I was wondering if it's used with the pancreas, the cancer of the pancreas.
Well, I'm glad your friend did well. And yes, we do use protons for pancreas. One of the difficulties with pancreatic radiation is the location of the pancreas with the small bowel. So anytime we have a technology that allows us to keep high doses off of the small bowel and put it onto the pancreas, we try to do that. So we do use proton therapy for pancreas.
Okay.
Anything
Thanks
else, Roland? Okay. Thank you so much, Roland.
Thank you for calling.
And good luck with your treatment. Dr. Wittick, how often, once you have committed to the treatment, how often do you undergo therapy? Is it every day, every other day, 5 days a week, several weeks, months? Is there a limit?
There's no limit. Our treatment plans typically follow the same treatment plan as an X-ray or traditional photon plan. So, for example, if you had breast cancer and you needed 25 traditional radiation treatments, we would probably do 25 with protons. Most radiation is given Monday through Friday. The treatments last, 20 to 40 minutes per treatment. We tend to treat from, 7 a.m. to sometimes 11 p.m., but in general, 7 to 7 are our treatment hours. Different tumor sites generally require a different amount of radiation. For example, my specialty is head and neck cancer, like a cancer of your tonsil or a cancer of your tongue. That kind of cancer, that generally requires 30 to 35 daily treatments, Monday through Friday, no weekends. If you have a breast cancer, sometimes you can get away with 15 treatments or 5 treatments. But those are big ranges, and everybody has their own, whatever their disease status is, typically drives that decision.
In some of my research, I saw where often that you can deliver proton therapy in outpatient settings. Is that the case, and how is that done?
I would say 98% of our patients are outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
They come into the center. Again, they valet park right in front. They're escorted to our treatment floor, which is the second floor. They go to a waiting room. They're called back to the treatment machine. They get on the machine. They get off, and then they go home. One day a week. At least one day a week, they're asked to see their treating physician to manage any side effects and to answer any questions. It's called your on-treatment visit. But in general, this is an outpatient procedure.
And so when you come in, when you say you come in and you get into the machine, what are we talking about? A CAT scan, an MRI? What do you do at least to diagnose? Do you go through the normal sort of procedures that we may think of when doctors are looking for a size of a tumor or cancer and where it may be located? Should you expect those same kind of procedures initially?
Not necessarily. Most patients, by the time they find their way to a radiation oncologist, already have a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally during our consultation, we will request additional what we call our staging studies. Maybe a PET scan or an MRI scan. This allows us better to characterize the disease status and to localize the tumor for the treatment planning process. After we perform the staging studies, patients will go through something called a CT simulation. And what that involves is you laying on a CAT scan. Most of us have been through a CAT scan at some point, which is sort of a hard table, and it goes through a big donut for 5 minutes. And on the table, you are, depending on your disease, put in some sort of device that keeps you still. Our radiation is extremely accurate, within a few millimeters. So if you move during the treatment, we miss the target. So we create a custom device for you that keeps you in the same spot for your treatment. We then use that CT scan to fuse it. We sort of overlay all of your staging studies, your PET scan, your MRI scans. And then we use that. We work with our physicist, our dosimetrist, our therapist to create a treatment plan. After we create a plan, you come back in the treatment rooms. You go into a room. It's a larger size room, not claustrophobic at all. You lay on a table, and there's a big treatment arm that will sort of move around the room to treat your tumor. That takes about 20 to 40 minutes, and then you're done.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. He is Dr. Matthew Wittig, Medical Director of the Maryland Protein Treatment Center and Associate Professor of Radiation Oncology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Tonight we're talking about proton therapy. It is a specific type of cancer treatment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Wittig, you had talked about, I think you said your expertise is kind of head and neck cancers, but we know proton therapy treats pediatric cancers, right? Spine tumors, breast cancers, sarcoma, brain tumors, prostate cancer. Are there certain cancers that proton therapy just does not work well with?
I would say the one disease that we don't really treat is leukemia, sort of the liquid tumor.
Mm-hmm.
That's one disease site that we don't tend to treat with protons. Otherwise, it's very few things that we don't treat. In general, as radiation doctors, we don't treat colon cancer with radiation. The colon, for example, can move during the day, so targeting the colon can be difficult, whether that be with x-rays or protons. There's very few things that we can't treat, but I would say those are the two big ones people think about that we don't really treat a lot of. One thing we didn't talk about was what we call re-irradiation.
Mm-hmm.
Patients that have had radiation in the past.
Right.
And possibly the tumor had then spread elsewhere and they went on to receive some sort of systemic or chemotherapy. And then just for example, everything went away, but the tumor that got radiation first then comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you before, there are tissues around the tumor that don't like to get radiation, and too much radiation can cause side effects. And so when you have a recurrent tumor that's already had radiation, proton therapy is generally favored in the re-irradiation setting. Mm-hmm. At our center, I would say 25% of our patients are re-irradiation patients. So I think it's a great indication for the therapy. And again, we'd be happy to speak with patients in more detail regarding that.
And before we go to break, Dr. Wittig, if you are a doctor who specializes in treating cancer, would we assume that that doctor would have an expertise or some expertise in proton therapy, or is that very specific to specific doctors?
So outside of radiation, I think cancer doctors and general practitioners or cancer surgeons would be familiar with the technology. Speaking at a high level, I'm not sure. For example, I can't explain to you how to remove a tumor from a pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the procedure, but I couldn't give you the details. So I think on the outside of the radiation oncology world, that's probably where most people are.
Right.
Within radiation oncology itself, I think doctors that treat with protons have a better understanding of protons. But, you know, doctors that don't, I'm sure, have some high-level understanding of proton therapy. We do our best to talk with doctors that don't have protons at their center to sort of educate them on how we can use this technology as, you know, one tool in the toolkit to fight tumors, and I think that's been very successful. So, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out. This is the Insight segment. It is Medical Monday. We're talking about proton therapy, a treatment for cancer, an alternative treatment. It is radiation. But it does target specific tumors and tends not to have as much damage of the good tissue around the cancerous area. So we're talking more about it. The expert is in the house, or the doctor, rather, Dr. Matthew Whitting. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about proton therapy. It is a cancer treatment. And Dr. Matthew Whitting, one question that we received is regarding prostate cancer. And this gentleman is being treated for prostate cancer with radiation, but he has to have a full bladder when he is having that radiation. Are those same requirements if you're receiving proton therapy?
Generally, there are some advantages to having a fuller bladder. Occasionally we use it to, if you can imagine, the small bowels sit on top of the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a full bladder, you're pushing your bowels up and out of any radiation being passed.
Mm.
Other times, you know, if you expand the bladder, the amount of radiation to the bladder itself goes lower. If you can imagine having your hand closed and shining a light on your hand, the whole hand will get radiation. So your whole bladder may get radiation, but if you fill it, you know, that the hand would be less lit up by a light. So maybe if you use that as an analogy, those mm-hmm. are two reasons why we might do it.
Oh, great information. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Whitting, I'm not sure if I asked you this or you made this point, but does proton therapy, is there one particular cancer that it treats best, that it attacks best, that the results are best?
You know, a good question. I don't know if we have all the data to answer that question. There are a lot of what we call head-to-head trials comparing protons to photon X-ray, proton radiation. So we're asking those questions at the Maryland Proton Center. We have a trial open for almost every disease site, so we want to ask those questions so we can do the best by our patients. I treat head and neck cancer quite a bit. If you can imagine, there's a lot of eloquent areas in the head and neck region. You have taste buds, you have salivary glands, you have your voice box, you have your eyes are right there. So I think my patients actually benefit quite a bit from proton therapy. I noticed the weight loss is much less. The need for a temporary feeding tube is much less. So although I'm a little bit biased because it's my specialty, I think patients with any type of head and neck cancer will benefit quite a bit from proton therapy.
And so that was kind of my next question. I think you sort of walked right into it, sort of the best candidates for proton therapy and what you're saying, those who have sort of neck or throat issues or head issues.
I think they do it particularly well. But, you know, another group of patients is, for example, if you're a female with a left-sided breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
The heart is very close to the chest wall, so reducing radiation dose to the anterior portion of the heart may reduce the risk for long-term radiation-induced cardiac events. So even though, you know, you may not notice the benefit of radiation for breast cancer up front, long-term we may be able to reduce some of the long-term treatment sequelae. So every patient may have or does have a potential benefit with proton therapy. But again, it's kind of in context what you think is the most important for you and your healthcare.
Dr. Whitting, are there misconceptions about proton therapy? And if so, what might they be?
Misconceptions.
Are they? I mean, if they're not, if you
yeah,
don't believe...
Yeah, there are. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are. You know, I think sometimes patients think they come in and just have one treatment and they're done. That can be somewhat of a misconception. But again, we're doing very similar things as patients would be treated with X-rays or traditional radiation. It's just we expect some of the side effects to be a little bit different. But that's one we can commonly hear that, you know, just one treatment and we're done. And we tend not to do anything like that that fast. So I think that's one of the common things that I see. But, you know, I think most patients that find their way to a proton center are either referred by a physician that has some knowledge of it where they do their homework and go on the website and sort of investigate things. So I think by the time they get to us, they have a pretty good understanding of sort of what to expect. So I don't think there's a lot of misconceptions.
Dr. Wittig, talk to me a little bit about, you know, President Biden has made it a point to say that he is putting money behind research to try to fight cancer, eliminate cancer. Where would you say we are as a nation or even worldwide right now in terms of cancer research? What kind of progress are we making in eliminating cancer? And is that even possible?
So that's one of the common questions I get. When will we ever cure cancer?
Mm-hmm.
I can look at my own practice and we cure a lot of patients that have cancer. We have therapies now that cure a lot of our patients. We are making progress in those that we don't have a great cure record for. Proton therapy is one of those technological advances. Right now, something called immunotherapy is very common. Even more advanced surgical techniques, such as robotic-assisted surgeries, we're making those advances. But I think really what the best thing is to do is to prevent the cancer, so healthy living, reducing your smoking, or eliminate your smoking, reducing your alcohol consumption, exercising, get vaccinated against cancers that you can be vaccinated against.
Such as, which ones can you be vaccinated?
Gardasil, you know, the HPV virus that can cause cervical cancer is the same cancer that causes most of the cancers that my men have in their back of their throat. So Gardasil and the other vaccines against the HPV virus has the potential to reduce cervical cancer, anal cancer, oropharynx cancer. So I think as we progress with our technology, reducing the presence of the onset of cancer is one of the best ways to beat it.
And you mentioned immunotherapy. For those of us who aren't that familiar with that, what is it? What does that do? How is that different?
Yes, so, you know, in a healthy individual, we're sort of creating cancer cells all the time, but our immune system, just like they kill bacteria, recognize tumor cells as being quote-unquote foreign bodies, and they will attack those tumor cells. But over time, those tumor cells develop ways of shutting down the immune response, and so they grow. What scientists and with those the monies that the government provides has figured out is ways of reactivating our immune system to re-engage and kill tumor cells. You know, there is a lot of evidence to support the use of radiation therapy like proton therapy in combination with immunotherapy, and we're doing a lot of trials to figure that out. Again, that's our tax dollars and private companies really putting some hard work in developing new technologies to help fight cancer.
And I had mentioned President Biden and about his push to try to cure cancer. From a doctor's standpoint, how much of an impact does it have when you have the leader of any nation put that at the forefront, or at least one of the forefronts, of his or her agenda? Does that make a difference, Dr. Wittig?
It does, and I will speak on behalf of my research colleagues. You know, the president can set the tempo, and the Congress can then follow suit. An amount of money that's appropriated for research can then dictate, for example, how much money can be given to researchers. So if there's a lot of money, there's more researchers with money to invest in projects to come up with novel technology to fight cancer. If there's very limited funding, they're all fighting for scraps, and there's not a lot of money to go around to investigate novel techniques to kill cancer. So I think that's something that leadership can do that impacts us in the short term and more importantly, in the long term.
Well, Dr. Wittig, I want to make sure our listeners who've listened to all of your important advice and knowledge on proton therapy and just cancer in general and the treatments and the research that is happening. Again, if folks not only want to get in touch with you or want to just generally get more information about cancer and proton therapy, any websites you suggest, and also how can folks get in touch with you and your services?
Sure. So our site is askforprotons.com. Again, our phone number is 369-5200. There's two nice organizations, NAPT. You can just Google NAPT, and there's another one, PTCOG. Those are two off the top of my head that our organizations, places that have proton facilities, and we're working to make protons more effective and more accessible to people. And so there's, you know, again, if you just Google proton therapy, you're going to come up with more hits than you have time to do with it. So there's a lot out there. But if you have cancer or you have a loved one with cancer, the best thing to do is to see a clinician that has access to protons and experience and let them walk you through the potential benefits they may have for you.
He is Dr. Matthew Wittick. He is the medical director of the Maryland Proton Treatment Center and associate professor of radiation oncology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Dr. Wittick, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for your expertise and guidance on this topic. We appreciate having you.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, June 13th. I'm Bramante Bride, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.